This morning on Wake Up With Hope, Jesus 101 will be with us to share a morning devotional, we'll have a dedicated prayer session, and an important segment on overcoming digital distractions.
Join us. Good morning, friends, and thank you for waking up with hope. You know, we're excited to be here and waking up with you this morning.
Friends, did you know that today is World Vegetarian Day? A vegetarian is someone who doesn't eat meat. And today, approximately 10% of the world's population is vegetarian, including us.
And among those 10%, here's two of us. In fact, our whole family's vegetarian, and we have really gained the benefits of such a lifestyle. You know, it's a perfect day to give vegetarianism a try. Enjoy a meatless dish, pack on the veggies, and try tofu for the first time, maybe, or enjoy a vegetarian burger.
You know what? It's good for the body, and it's good for the mind. And talking about the mind, later on today's program, we're going to be also spending time talking about digital distractions and how we can overcome them.
But first, let's take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1890, President Benjamin Harrison signed a congressional law that created Yosemite National Park, located in California. At present, over 3 million people visit and enjoy Yosemite National Park annually. It is home to one of the world's tallest waterfalls, incredible rock formations, groves of giant sequoias, which are the world's largest trees, and the largest granite monolith in the United States.
You know, truly, God has given us amazing wonders and beauty to behold and enjoy. You know, when we experience nature, when we look at the trees, the flowers, the birds, and all the amazing animal and plant kingdom, we have to take a step back and pause and reflect on the goodness of God. When we study nature, even our own physiology, it becomes abundantly clear that there was a designer. You know, this world is not here by chance, and neither are you, friends. God made you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And today we want to encourage you to spend time in nature and ask God to speak to your heart. Take time in the beauty of nature all around you. Remember the Creator who made it and ultimately the one who made you because He loves you.
Amen. Praise God for His love today. Well, do you reach for your smartphone as soon as you wake up? Do you find yourself frequently checking your emails, the news apps, or how many likes on your social media posts during the day? Well, you're not alone. Research shows that we check our phones at least every 12 minutes of the day. What can we do to improve our focus and minimize digital distractions? The Incredible Journey shares 7 essential tips.
Do you reach for your smartphone as soon as you wake up? Do you find yourself frequently checking your emails, the news apps, or how many likes on your social media posts during the day? Well, you're not alone. Research shows that we check our phones at least every 12 minutes of the day. We feel we just have to check the latest posts on social media, TikTok, messaging apps, swipe left or right on a dating app, scroll the news for updates, along with our other favorite sites. It now seems difficult for us to remember a time when our personal and professional life was not so dominated by the digital world. Many of us feel stressed or lost without our phone nearby. There's even a new name for it, nomophobia. These devices are like a security blanket to many and bring the world into our lives. But they also mean that we are distracted and interrupted at any time of the day or night. I think we all know that these distractions have eroded our ability to concentrate. So if we were interrupted about every 7 to 8 minutes while at work, and it takes about 15 minutes to resume our activity with a deep level of concentration. Then does this mean we aren't concentrating as well as we could or should? By having our phones always online, we exist in a constant state of alertness of what is happening somewhere else or to someone else. Our brains trigger adrenaline or cortisol to create this hyper-alert state that is always searching and scanning for stimuli. It becomes like an addiction that is only assuaged when we check in with our phones or computers. It seems that most of us are now hopelessly distracted by technology. Social media is engineered to hook our attention. The internet opens the world to us and monopolizes our time. But why are we so addicted to technology? Well, social researchers tell us that a distraction is something that takes you away from the task you should be doing. Are we distracted because we are addicted, or distracted because we are trying to avoid or escape what is happening in our own lives? Could it be that the aimless and endless scrolling and snaps of information causes us to unintentionally compare ourselves to others? Does the distraction bring relief from our own intrusive thoughts, but also drags us away from our work and responsibilities? So could we ask, is this work task we are doing causing anxiety, fear, failure, and uncertainty? Or are our emotions controlling us and we just have to check our social media apps to see and compare ourselves to others? Melbourne psychologist Dr. Berry has said that distraction has become our number one avoidance technique for pain, anxiety, stress, and fear of failure. Studies are showing that digital distraction is beginning to replace drugs and alcohol for drowning out pain. Instead, we are choosing the high-intensity social media, gaming, and pornography, which activates our reward system in the brain. This is a 21st century problem. The more we are having difficulty with our emotions and feeling disconnected from our social groups, the more we choose to drown out those feelings by overusing social media, networking, or internet sites. It gives us an instant hit, buzz, or good feeling. And soon, we can find that we are addicted to this virtual world. In our instant society, we are allowing technology to distract us and fritter away our time. Never before has society had so many options available, so many online networks, and so much information at our fingertips. But is all this access to the digital world affecting our ability to make good choices? Why is it that we can watch a two-hour movie but not focus well enough to study for that length of time? Why is it that we can play a computer game online for hours but not spend more than 30 minutes a day with our families? Why is it that we can spend hours reading social media posts but have trouble reading the Bible? If you are feeling unable to concentrate, unable to pay attention to detail, be diverted and lose interest in a task quickly, then I'd like to suggest a few tips on how to improve your focus and to find out what is really important in your life. 1. Identify what is making you anxious or stressed or distracting you. 2. Try to control your distraction with social media or internet sites by limiting your access. 3. Be more mindful when you feel yourself being distracted or your mind wanders. Purposely bring it back to the task you are doing. 4. If you are feeling overwhelmed by a task, work out what exactly needs to be done and break it into smaller, achievable parts. 5. Make a to-do list and tick off the completed tasks. This will give you that good feeling inside that we all want. Sixth, spend more time with the important relationships in your life. And seven, pray to God. He will help you to become the person you have dreamed you could be. He can guide your life and lead you in paths you never imagined. So there are 7 points to consider. But remember, some of the best advice of all when it comes to what we spend our time watching comes from the Bible. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things."
It's now time for prayer. But have you ever wondered why prayer?
You know, the truth is that prayer is what sustains us as Christians. Just as we need oxygen to survive physically, we need prayers to survive spiritually.
Yes, friends, and it's important to pray and maintain a constant communication and communion with God. And the Let's Pray team is here to help us do just that. Please join us from wherever you are.
Well, good day to you. I don't know what time of day you're seeing this, if you're watching with us in the morning or afternoon or evening, but it's that time again, wherever you are, to pray together. Hi, my name is Season Cromwell. I am the host of Hope Channel's Let's Pray, and it's my honor to pray with you today. We're going to be talking about joy. We're going to be praying about joy. Do you know it says in Psalm 30, verse 5, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. The Bible says in John 17:17, to sanctify them by your truth. Your word is the truth. And Father, because your word is the truth, not a truth, not my truth, the truth, because that's true. When it tells me, Father, that I will possibly ache, that I will have trouble, that weeping may endure for a night, for a time, there can be sorrow. But Father, your joy comes in the morning. This helps me to know, Father, that not only will I experience hard things in my life, we all will, but that, Father, that buoyancy will return. We may come under the water for just a bit, but Father, that buoy will pop back up, that buoyancy will come back. And so, Father, we don't have to fear the night. We don't have to fear the heartache. All the ways where the struggles of this world threaten to overcome us, the emotions of whatever we're facing to overwhelm like a tidal wave, Heavenly Father. Lord, whenever these things come upon us, Jesus, we can be afraid at times. But Lord, your word promises that joy comes in the morning. And whether it is a period of time or it's a short time, Father, the promise is that it will return. So Jesus, wherever this community finds itself today, in the middle of heartache, on the other side of heartache, looking back and praising you, wherever they are, Jesus, I pray, Lord, that we would remember that yes, we will face struggles, but our buoyancy will return because you are faithful. Jesus, I thank you for the refining fire of circumstance. I thank you, Jesus, that for that beautiful character that you're growing. And while we're in the midst of it, Jesus, it does not always feel so great. Father, I have hope. And I pray that this community would have hope, Lord, that we would be encouraged, Jesus, to know that you've not left us, you've not forsaken us, and that even though we cannot see our way through at times, you can. And that even if we feel underwater, our literal guard of life, our life guard, walks on water. You're never going to leave us there, Father. And even though we walk through that valley of the shadow of death, we can fear no evil in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for your protection and your covering over this community. I thank you, Jesus, that you stop to weep with us when we weep, just like you did for Mary and Martha regarding Lazarus. You care. But Father, you're still going to bring life. And I praise you, Father, for the hope, not only of eternal resurrection, Father, but that rebirth, that new creation that's coming, that beautiful character that's being refined right in the midst of our struggle. And Lord, I want to pray for those who cannot even muster the faith or the strength to pray today. We as a community, Lord, we have faith for them when they don't. We're going to throw our arms around them spiritually, Heavenly Father, and say, Lord, we believe on their behalf. Would you tend to their needs? Would you continue to sustain them during their struggle, Heavenly Father? Would you continue, Heavenly Father, to love them and comfort them in a place where there are no words? Because weeping may endure for a night, but your joy, not what the world gives, Father, your joy comes in the morning. And I thank you, Father, that the sun rises every day and that your mercies are new every day, Father. So bless and keep this community wherever they are, struggle, victory, or somewhere in between, Lord. And we thank you that you're faithful in all things in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you, family. I pray that you are encouraged and we'll see you soon.
We hope you're finding our program worthwhile. Don't forget to share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup for more.
Also, check out our YouTube channel and subscribe to keep up with each one of our episodes.
Well, friends, we are excited for our morning devotional with Elizabeth Talbot coming up right after this short break. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. We are so happy you stayed with us.
It's now time for a devotional thought from Jesus 101.
We continue with our series on the life of David after God's heart. And today we start with a psalm, Psalm 32. I want to read to you the beginning of the psalm. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. He continues on to say, that his bones were like dry when he wasn't confessing his sin. And then he continues on verse 5, I acknowledge my sin to you and my iniquity I did not hide. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. This is a very interesting psalm. I hope you read it all. But he talks about the blessedness of when your sins are covered. So today we start with this question. What's the difference between covering your sin and your sins being covered? And I think my two figurings here are going to help us. Covering your sins is when you're trying to bury your sins and cover them. That's why this figurine has a shovel. It's a shovel. It's like if you're, trying to dig in and put your sins there so nobody knows about it. When your sins are covered is when you give your sins to God to cover them. So this one hides it. This one gives it up to God, confesses it, and asks God to cover it with his righteousness. That's the difference. They're opposite, right? And it happens to be that we use the same word in English. This one is trying to cover the sins. This one wants their sin covered. So today we're going to talk a little bit about the moment when David had a great sin. It wasn't a regular sin. And what I mean by that is we all are sinful and have sins. The difference of sin is when you are in rebellion against God. So you're trying to cover your sin, right? It's not that you're coming to God and say, forgive me all my sins and this happened today and please forgive me and cover my sins. The rebellion is when I don't want God to cover my sin. I want to cover myself like Adam and Eve did with fig leaves in Eden, right? So David was a man after God's own heart. You know, even God told Saul, King Saul, that he had found a man after his own heart that would replace him. And I read on 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. Now your kingdom, says God to Saul, shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people. From there on, David will be called a man after God's own heart many times, even in the New Testament, in Acts 13:22. We have the same title for David. And David became like the model king. If you go through the 1st and 2nd Kings, often God says, that king is not like my servant David, who was a man after my own heart, or who did always right, or whatever. He becomes the model king, right? God is always talking about him in a positive way. But there's one exception, and I'm going to show it to you, is in 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 5. David did what was right in the sight of the Lord and had not turned aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except, there's an exception, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. And that's the story we are discussing today. And the story is told in 2 Samuel. So we're going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. And what is interesting about this story is that David is already king. Everything that God had told him has been fulfilled. And he's a successful king, and God is with him, and he's a man after his own heart, after God's own heart. And he's doing good things like he did with Mephibosheth in 2 Samuel chapter 9. But then on chapter 11, 2 Samuel 11, it says, verse 2, when evening came, David arose from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful in appearance. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And one said, it is not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? She was the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And so at that moment, you think the next verse is going to say, so David said, oh, she's married. Okay, then. No, but David did not say that. Verse 4, David sent messengers and took her, and when she came to him, he lay with her. And when she had purified herself from her uncleanness, she returned to her house, and in the best soap opera style, we get verse 5, the woman conceived, and she sent and told David and said, I'm pregnant. This is the man after God's own heart that has many, many wives and concubines the way other kings used to have, but he wants that one, the one that belongs to another man, and he thinks he's above the law. And of course, she says she's pregnant. And so he tells his commander, Joab, to bring Uriah so that he can sleep with his wife and the whole thing can be covered. He's trying to cover his sin. But Uriah comes and says, I cannot go to my house. Everybody's fighting for the king. I'm not going to go and have fun at my house. So it's not working, the plan that David has. So he sends an order that they may put Uriah in the very front of the battle and get killed. So it's adultery, homicide. You know, when you're trying to cover and cover and fig leaves are not enough and you make a hole that is bigger and bigger and deeper and you're having to go deeper in your covering of your own sin. And that's what's happening to David. And the man is killed. So he sends for Bathsheba and she becomes his wife. But the last verse of 2 Samuel 11, verse 27 says, the thing that David had done was evil in the sight of the Lord. He thought he got away with it because he was a king and he thought he was above the law and he's in rebellion against God. He's not confessing his sin. He's trying to cover his own sin. But chapter 12 starts by saying the Lord sent Nathan because God initiates, and when God exposes a sin, it's always to save. It's not to humiliate or to just punish, it's to save. And so God sends Nathan to tell David a story. And this story is about a man, and you can read it on chapter 12, who had many flocks and herds and many sheep. He was rich. And there was one man who only had one little ewe lamb who he loved so much and was part of the family. And when a traveler came to the rich man's house, instead of killing one of his many, many, many lambs to feed this man, he went and took the one lamb that the one poor man had. David thought it was a court case because he always, you know, had to do legal things. And he was outraged. It says on verse 5, David's anger burned greatly against the man. He said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, surely the man who has done this deserves to die. And Nathan says to him, the prophet, verse 7, you are that man. You are that man. You thought you were above the law. You are in rebellion against God. You are not confessing your sin. And this is you. You've done this. And it says that David at that moment repented. Verse 13, David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And at that moment when he confesses, Nathan said to David, the Lord has taken away your sin. Of course, there would be consequences. The baby would die. But then something amazing happens. Not only does he repent and write the beautiful Psalm 51, But Bathsheba and David get together again on verse 24 and have another baby, and his name is Solomon, the wisest man on earth, that God gifted them with this wise man. Confess your sin. Let God cover it. At the cross, he made provision for your sin. So instead of trying to cover your sin, let him cover it. If you confess, he's faithful to forgive and cleanse.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth. What a blessing.
And friends, thank you for spending time with us this morning. And if you'd like to learn more about us or share us with a friend, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to wake up with us tomorrow morning. It is Renton's Pastor John Bradshaw will have the devotional thought for us. And our friends from the Good Food Kitchen will be back with a recipe for tofu feta rice. Plus, we'll have another Masterstroke episode and more.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought, and you would like to learn more about God's amazing purpose for your life, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, friends, that's hope.study to claim your free Bible study guides. Check out the website. We are sure you'll find something just for you.
And before we go, we want to leave with you a Bible promise. And it says,
the Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Romans 8, verse 15.
You know, friend, as we accept Jesus and surrender our lives to him, he adopts us into his kingdom. He draws us into his side and grants us an abundant life in his presence.
Amen.
What a promise.
Amen. That's right. Friends, we've had a wonderful time on today's program. And we pray you felt God's love and care for you this morning.
Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, so much for the wonderful, wonderful encouragement we received today. Our hearts are full of joy, and we're so thankful because we know that you're able to keep that joy in our hearts. We can live with joy throughout this day. So keep us close to you, Lord, and thank you again for the wonderful content that has filled our hearts today with hope. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.